Welcome to Entrusted Hope Podcast, a ministry outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us today as we dive into the Word of God, entrusting to you what has been entrusted to us. Join us now as our host and Bible teacher, Dr. O'Shea Lowry, teaches God's unchanging truth while passing on life lessons entrusted to her amid her journey.
Hey, everybody. It is so great to be with you today. I'm going to be speaking today on the topic, It's Not About the Donkeys. We're going to be reading in 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 3. So if you have your Bibles, your iPads, your iPhone, go ahead and turn there and be prepared to read along with me. I'm going to start with a word of prayer before we get, before we dive into the Word of God. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to talk about your truth, to share, Lord, about this amazing story. Lord, your word transforms our minds. Your word transforms our hearts. So, Father, open our hearts and speak to us as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is a story that God has used many, many years in my life. It has so much truth, which all of God's word is truth. But this story has so many life application principles that we can apply to our life. And I want to share, you know, this is about Kish. He wakes up one morning and all of his donkeys are gone. And so he goes to his son Saul and the servant, and he sends them out to go and find the donkeys. So I'm going to start reading in 1 Samuel chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take now with you one of the servants and arise, go search for the donkeys." He passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of Benjamites, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come and let us return, or else my father will cease to be concerned about the donkeys and will become anxious for us." He said to him, "Behold, now there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor. All that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have set out." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sack, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, 'Come and let us go to the seer.' For he who is called a prophet now was formerly called a seer." Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the slope to the city, they found young women going out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered them and said, "He is. See, he is ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come into the city today, for the people have a sacrifice on the high place today. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for you will find him at once." So they went up to the city. As they came into the city, behold, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up to the high place. I want us to begin with point number one. When a crisis occurs, we instantly try to figure and fix. We try to figure out what is going on within the trial, and we try to fix everything that we know to try and fix within the trial, unaware that God has a greater purpose going on than what we know. Look once more at verse 3. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take now with you one of the servants and arise, go search for the donkeys." So Kish is trying to figure out and fix the situation that is going on. The crisis in the house of Kish, the donkeys are lost. And back in those days, donkeys were very valuable to farmers and they were very expensive. So this was more than just a little trial that had come to Kish's home. This was a crisis. So they're gone. And so the answer to the crisis is to find the donkeys. The solution to the crisis was to send Saul to bring them home. At this point, Kish nor Saul had any clue that God had ordained the crisis for a greater purpose. All they knew was the donkeys were lost. And all they knew to do was to go find the donkeys. So this matter became their focus, and this focus became their mission. And this brings us to point number two. Our mission for the crisis at hand may not be the Lord's mission. I want you to look once more at verse four. Now, we're talking about Saul. He passed through the hill country of Ephraim, and he passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they could not find them. Saul, once again, was on a mission to bring the donkeys home. But God's mission was to scatter the donkeys and to keep them from being found until the appointed time, so that his appointed purpose for scattering the donkeys would be fulfilled. Remember, while we only see what's in front of us, God sees the bigger picture. And that brings us to point number three. God's mission will always prevail that of our own. Remember, Saul's search led him through five different areas, through the hill country, throughout the land. He tried to figure, fix, and find, but he could not find those lost donkeys because God would not let him. And so God's mission, or his ordained mission, would prevail over that of Saul's. Listen, we cannot find what God deems unfindable. When God closes a door, no man can open it. And when God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God ordains lost donkeys to be scattered, they will not be found until God, until God's appointed time. One commentary stated, this frustrated Saul, yet God worked out his plan through the lost donkeys in a way Saul couldn't even imagine. Those donkeys could have gone anywhere, but they went exactly where God wanted them to go. They submitted themselves to what God wanted. We often speak of dumb animals, but these donkeys were smart enough to submit to God. Sometimes we get so upset over closed doors instead of trusting the one who is closing them for a greater purpose. Well, you've often heard the saying, all good things must come to an end. And that includes sometimes a search. And Saul, he gets to a point that he decides to retreat. He is ready to go back home because he thinks it's not going anywhere. Look at verse 5. When they came to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come and let us return, or else my father will cease to be concerned about the donkeys and become anxious for us. And this brings us to point number four. We must advance instead of retreat in the midst of a trial. We must advance with Jesus instead of retreat in the midst of a trial. In the midst of a crisis, if we are not careful, we will come to a crossroads in our mind that we have to make a decision to either keep moving forward with Jesus or turn back due to the effects of a trial. Do you remember the children of Israel when Moses is bringing them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and they're on their way to the promised land? And they're excited, they're free, and they're so excited about going to the promised land. But then when the journey gets tough, there were many times that they would say, let us just return to Egypt. They always wanted to go to Egypt. And let me tell you something, when we're in the midst of a trial, Egypt often comes calling. The call to retreat will come instead of advance. So at this point, Saul made a decision to go back. He was tired, he was frustrated, and he was worried that his father was going to become concerned about them. He saw no point in continuing the search because he couldn't see anything happening. He probably thought this journey is going absolutely nowhere. So he was ready to retreat. And I want to say this, ladies, here is where the enemy works the hardest. We have tried and tried to figure out what to do. We have tried to fix it. We have prayed and we have prayed and we have prayed and we see no results. And we have talked until we're blue in the face to that prodigal or to that spouse, and nothing is changing. And we find ourselves saying, this journey is going nowhere. but it is going somewhere. And this is where we have to put the stake down and we have to decide we must walk according to God's truth instead of according to our emotions. God's word says we walk by faith and not by sight. The journey that you and I are on, it is going somewhere. And so was Saul's journey, all ordained by God. Listen, retreating instead of advancing can put us on a different course than what we were meant to be on. Retreating instead of advancing can put us on a course completely out of the will of God. And so at this point, Saul's servant steps up and he encourages Saul to keep moving forward. We read in verse 6, Saul's servant said, "Behold now, there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor. All that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey, which we have set out." At this point, their focus and mission is still on those donkeys, still on those donkeys. So we're going to go to see this man. And of course, he's talking about Samuel the prophet. So the servant says to Saul, "Let's go see Samuel. I hear great things. He's held in high honor. Maybe he can tell us where these donkeys are. He can tell us about the journey." So Saul listened to the servant, and he continued to move forward. Listen, God orchestrates our steps even when we do not realize it. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." God had something in store for Saul, but he had to keep moving forward in order to get the blessing that God had awaiting. As Saul and his servant arrived to the city, they noticed women going up a slope. And so they say to the women, "Is the seer here?" They're asking them, "Is Samuel the prophet here?" I want you to listen to their response in verse 12. They answered them and said, "He is. See, he is ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come into the city today." It was not by just chance that Saul just showed up at the same time Samuel did. It was by God's appointed time. And so I want us to pick up now reading in verses 15 through 21, and this is where it gets really exciting. We are going to see the purpose for this trial. In verse 15, "Now a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, 'About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. And he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people because their cry has come to me.' When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people.' Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, 'Please tell me where the seer's house is.' Samuel answered Saul and said, 'I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And in the morning, I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's household?' Saul replied, 'Am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me this way?'" I want you to look back for just a moment at verse 16. Here is why the donkeys were scattered. Here is the purpose for the trial. And this is the Lord. The Lord goes to Samuel and he says, "You know, tomorrow I'm sending someone to you, and this is who you're going to anoint to be the next king of Israel. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people because their cry has come to me." And that brings us to point number 5. It was never about the donkeys. This crisis was never about the donkeys, but instead it was about a call. I want us to look once more at verse 20, when Samuel says, "As for your donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found." And I want to say that we can take this verse to apply it even to our lives today, that the Lord says in Colossians, I think it's 3 verse 1, to set our mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. And Samuel knew that Saul was worried over those donkeys, and he let him know, don't set your mind on them. They have been found. In other words, Saul, this is why all of this has happened to bring you to this point. The donkeys were simply tools that in the hands of God to get Saul up and out of his comfort zone and to get him to meet Samuel face to face. It was also about a people who had been crying out to God for a king. So there were a lot at play here. God was working in a lot of people. He was hearing these people pray. He was working in Samuel's heart, getting him ready. And he used donkeys to make it all come about. So I ask you today, what donkeys or what tool is God using in your life today that you may have your mind, that your mind is just set on, instead of bending a knee and praying and asking the Lord to show you really what it is that's going on. And that brings us to point number six. There is an appointed time for God's intervention and the crisis for his answers to our questions and even his actions of blessings on our behalf. I want you to listen to verses 22 through 24 as we close. Then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion that I have, that I gave you, concerning which I said to you, set it aside." Then the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time, since I said I have invited the people." So Saul ate with Samuel that day. Note some very important truths. Saul was met with a divine meeting with Samuel at the appointed time. The donkeys were found only when God's timing came at the appointed time. The calling for Saul's life began to unfold at the appointed time. Even the meal that Saul was to attend, and he had no idea that he was going to be the guest, all came at the appointed time. And my favorite, at last but not least, even the food that had been set aside for Saul was kept for the appointed time. And that brings us to the last point today. Don't miss what God has set aside for you. I want you to listen to these two verses one more time. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion that I gave you, which I said to you, set it aside." He tells her to set food aside. Then the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time." Set it aside. Don't miss what God has set aside for you. It was the year 2013, and I found myself in New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. I had moved there to attend seminary. I knew God was leading me to seminary. I loved the campus, and but I didn't have a scholarship, and it was really difficult financially. I was working on campus and trying to pay for seminary, so it was just really difficult. And so one of my pastor friends contacted me from Alabama, and he said, "Shay, I've just been invited to speak at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary at their chapel." And the president back then was, and the president at New Orleans, they were brother-in-laws. And so he said, "Do I have your permission to speak to the president to see if he might could help you get a scholarship at New Orleans?" And I was like, "No, that's great." You know, so I was really excited. And so he comes to Southwestern and he speaks. And then they have a luncheon, and there are a lot of folks, you know, invited to the luncheon. And so he's sharing this. There was a man at that table that overheard the conversation. And he said to him, "Tell her if it doesn't work out at New Orleans, we will offer her here." And in fact, I was offered two full ride scholarships. And later when I called, they said, "Just pick which one that you want." Well, the pastor was telling me all of this. And so I was very polite, you know, and I listened. So when I hung up the phone, I said, "I am not moving to Texas." I was close to family. I loved New Orleans Seminary. I didn't want to move that far away. And I thought, there is no way that the Lord is in this, and I'm just not even going to look at this. So time goes by, and one of the scholarships, someone else gets the scholarship. And so there's one hanging. There's one waiting on me, full ride for my master's. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pray. And so I start praying about this, and I'm praying for days and days. And one day I'm coming home from Alabama, and I I arrive almost to seminary. I pull into a store and I get some food or in a drink, and I get back in my car. And as I'm pulling out, so clear within my spirit came, I have set before you an open door. So clear, so quick, after hours of being in prayer. And I knew then, God, you are moving me to Texas. And so I came here. I slept on my floor for weeks. I had no furniture. And so while I was here, my son-in-law said, you know, he called me. He said, you need to go and visit First Baptist Dallas. He said, I love the pastor, love Dr. Jeffries. I listen to him all the time. I said, okay, I will. And so I went and I met Pam Brewer, just absolutely love her so much, even to this day, and just met so many women at the church and just fell in love with the church. And I knew that was where I was supposed to go. And so I'm here for several years, and I just fell in love with Texas. I just absolutely loved Texas. In fact, when I would go home, I loved going home and seeing family, but I would miss Texas. And so, you know, anytime you're where God wants you, that's the way you're going to feel. And so the year 2016 is approaching graduation time, and I thought that's going to be it. But the Lord begins to move my heart that he, and then eventually made clear that he wanted me to work on my doctoral education. And so I did, and he provided every single dime for that education as well. I graduated in 2016 with my master's. Weeks later, the singles pastor, who was Michael Perrin then at First Dallas, he came up and he asked if I would teach a single mom Sunday school class. And so I really prayed about it, and then I said yes, and I start teaching. And he gave me permission to name the class. And as I was praying, the Lord immediately placed Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. And therefore came the name Strong and Courageous. Well, I start teaching the class. I'm just loving it. And then the Lord begins to stir my heart to create a ministry for single moms that churches from anywhere in the nation, anywhere in the world can bring in and utilize. Therefore became Strong and Courageous Ministry. Through this time, God called me to Entrusted Hope Ministries, and that became one of our our first outreach is Strong and Courageous to Single Moms, and that became my doctoral project. And so I was in, I started working for the School of Preaching, and I served as an admin, and so many pastors would come through, and they would say, well, what are you doing your doctoral project on? And the minute I said Single Moms Ministry, pastor after pastor after pastor would say, Shay, when you get it through, we want it. We want to see it. Over and over. I remember one day a Korean pastor walked in and he said, you know, Shay, can you change it to our language as well? It was just floods of people, of pastors realizing the need to minister to single moms. And they wanted, you know, when you get it through, we want to see it. And I've, often, now that I'm just a few weeks away from graduating with my doctorate, I have seen God's hand on this single mom's ministry in so many ways I cannot even begin to tell you. This was what was set aside for me. I look back at that day at New Orleans when I hung up that phone and I thought, I am not going to Texas. What I would have missed had I not have been obedient to the door that God had opened. Because this was set aside. This was his ministry that he wanted to reach other single mothers. And so I say to you today, that trial that right now is really trying to break you, it's not about the donkeys. There's something bigger going on. And I want to close with just to encourage us again, when a crisis occurs, before we try to figure and fix the situation, entrust the trial to God and ask for his wisdom and to see the trial through his eyes. Next, remember that our mission for the crisis may not be God's mission. So while we're out there trying to make a whole lot of things happen and God's blocking it, trust him. He sees what you do not see. Next, God's mission will always prevail over that of our own. And I'm living proof. I'm so glad it did, because what I didn't want to do was what he wanted me to do. And he got me here and he blessed tremendously. Next, don't let the effects of the trial cause you to retreat, but advance with God's leading. Next, there is an appointed time for God's answer and intervention in your trial. So always remember that. And last but not least, don't miss what God has set aside for you. I want to end today with this poem. On bended knees is where I was found, facing a crisis that had me so bound. Seeking for wisdom, I presented my pleas, desperate for God to just intervene. A question arose, why, Lord, has this come? For the effects of this trial have left me undone. Oh God, will you please help me trust in your plan? For as much as I'm trying, I just don't understand. Weeks turned to months of the ongoing trial, and honestly, I struggled to even go another mile. For the enemy's taunts were coming at high tide, with many a doubts continuing to rise. One day in my mind, to a crossroads I came, with a call to persevere and a temptation to get out of the game. For the battle was raging, especially in my mind, as my heart was drifting to a faithless sideline. But something began to happen, a divine intervention indeed. God was working in my heart, in my doubts, in my unbelief. He led me to His Word, and there He began to speak of His unconditional love and of His past faithfulness to me. He reminded me on this day that trials indeed will come, and with each trial a purpose, yet not to leave us undone. For those crises that come our way are powerful tools in God's hands to make us more like Jesus as He carries out His plan. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? An amazing and powerful story. The purpose of the trial appeared to be lost, but it wasn't. It was all for God's glory. The sifting of Peter, his failure, and what appeared to be an ending indeed, turned into a story of redemption with an invitation to feed God's sheep. Throughout God's Word, there are losses of battles that went awry, broken roads that were traveled from those suffering and faith tried. Yet over and over, God met them through every crisis indeed to bring about a transformation through a plan that at first they couldn't see. God revealed that I had been focusing solely on the crisis at hand instead of on God, who always sees the bigger picture beyond my span. So to my heart directly, God encouraged me on that day, reminding me that He was in control of the trial that had come my way. And even though I couldn't understand all of the reasons why, I would come to trust Him more as He faithfully stood by my side. So don't forget the story of Saul, the day his donkeys were lost, for it was never about the donkeys, but instead it was about a call. Same holds true with our trials that brutally come our way. There's something bigger going on, so be encouraged and let God have His way. Thank you so much again for the privilege of speaking. I want to end with prayer. Father, thank you that, Lord, you are in control of even the trials. And Father, I pray for everyone right now that's suffering over circumstances of a brutal trial. Father, would you comfort them? Would you give them hope? Would you give them peace? But Father, remind us today that, Lord, you see what we can't see. There's something bigger going on. It's not about the donkeys. It's about your plan and your purpose. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast. We pray today's teaching brought you hope and comfort in God's truth and in His love. For more information on Entrusted Hope Ministries, visit our website at www.entrustedhopeministries.org. Have a blessed day, and thank you again for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast, an outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries.